Blog Talk Radio.
Again, I have a lot of those weeks anymore. As much as I hate to admit it, it's true. So I hope everyone had a great week, and I hope you have a better weekend to follow, as always. And hello, Rex.
Evening.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, I'm glad you're fine. I don't know if I'm fine, but I'm here. I made it. That's a plus. It some days gets a little up in the air whether I'll be here or not. But it's good to be here. And, yeah, it looks like we have a decent board for tonight. Absolutely. And, yeah, I think that we'll have a little bit of fun. We have a caller already. We have dreams with her. Yeah, she was here before you were, see? Hi, Kate. Welcome aboard.
Hello, Rex. I was here early because I've had 3 hours sleep. That's phenomenal.
Okay.
Whoa.
I was going to say, gosh, you must be like wide awake and ready to dance. All right.
Okay, you haven't seen me dance, but I'm certainly wide awake. You wouldn't want to see me dance. I have to get so drunk before I dance that I can't stand up.
Yeah, I can relate to that very much so. I'm not a dancer either. And thank God, you're all so lucky that I keep myself muted as the intro plays, because sometimes I forget myself and I start to sing. And that's worse than my dancing. I'm just shy. But, yeah, so what a day. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm wonderful. We've still got snow, but it's beginning to sort of decide to unfreeze itself a little bit. But I kind of worry about my birds in the garden, because they can't get the fat balls, because the fat balls are frozen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a horrible time for birds.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I was just going to ask you what season it was where you're at, whether it was warmer, but now we know you have snow. So, see, that's it. Yes, it seems to be happening in a few places. Pam, just so you know, thinking of you, I hope you get your power on if you haven't already. Yeah, Pam had a storm that took out her power yesterday morning, early.
Oh,
and
that's horrible.
The worst part about when your power goes out is the fact your heat goes out and everything else goes out at the same time. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like this real catch 22, but... She did tell me she's got a wood stove, and they were drinking tea and huddled in blankets. And I went, well, that's a good way to be, because it's pretty cold up
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that reminds me of the 80s.
Yeah. See, poor thing. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, we don't get near as cold as she does, you know, where I'm at, thank God. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, why would we have to move if we got that cold here? Because I couldn't stand it. I don't do cold like that. But, yeah, so anyway, I hope that, I hope we have some fun tonight, and we got some good poems by some good poets, and, yeah, I think it's, very good, very good. So, yeah, we're ready to rock and roll, if you guys are. Before I go any further, see, I knew if I wanted to do something, I'd think of something else, where my life is. Just so everyone is aware, I put up a page for the Christmas specials, what they all are, well, tentative. As of this very moment in time, unless we have an addition here or addition there, these are the shows and the contest links for each day next week. We're going to start the Christmas specials either Sunday after midnight or Monday with Lou's show. That's right, Rex? And I believe
Absolutely.
That Robert is doing the Nightmare Before Christmas. So he gets it
yep.
the day before to to get ahead of us all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's the link. I put it up in the room, and anybody who needs it can go over and look on my page. Just has all the contest links and the show links for the week. So anybody who's interested, it is now up and going. Oh, yeah. So, I got a cramp in my leg.
That's no.
That's not good. Well, it's okay. I don't have to stand up, thank God. I'm dehydrated. I know, I've been drinking all that. Nothing else.
Well, I'm not talking about the gin. Need water.
Yeah, well, that's not... You're going to have them all thinking I'm an alcoholic. But you know, yeah, if I was drinking the gin, I wouldn't give a damn about the leg. I keep telling everybody that. But, you know, what can I say? There we go. I put the last, the link up for the show for the last time tonight, hopefully. And I guess I'll go over here and try and find, the list again. Okay. Oh, son of God. Really? My goodness. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to start at the top. Because that's where we left off last week. And Rex, I'm going to have you read the first one for us. And the top one is by Jack Kovic. And it is called 5 A.M. Musings by Jack Thompson. Mm-hmm.
Damn. 5 A.M. Musings by Jack Tomkovich. Grass grows, flowers bloom, and birds sing. Squirrels scamper and deer nibble. Azaleas like kibble. Birds grow and flowers cheep. And sunrise or I'm going to start this again. Grass grows, flowers bloom, and birds sing. Squirrels scamper and deer nibble. Azaleas like kibble. Birds grow and flowers cheep. And rises and earthworms sleep. As birds bloom and flowers buzz, grass sings and grubs have fuzz. As deer sing and birds bloom, squirrels scamper around the moon. I dance with you to clear the loon. We waltz around the darkened room and drink champagne while fireworks boom. Don't know why you pick me sweets. Never let me end the treats. Lobster bisque and jazzy beats. And boom. A little bit offbeat. I like that. All right, Kate, what do you got? What do you think?
Very well read. That was excellent. Yes, this is obviously a stream of consciousness. This was, I woke up at 3 o'clock and I decided to write down what I had just dreamt about. That's what it looks like to me. Birds grow and flowers cheep, sun rises and earthworms sleep. Yep, that's about right, I think. It's just lovely. It's a lovely little bouncy thing. And everything is topsy-turvy. And either we've drank a lot or we need to drink more. But yes, I thought it was very, very, very good. Especially and drink champagne while fireworks boom. Don't know why you picked me, sweet. No, I'm beginning to wonder myself. Yes, I thought it was very good, very clever, very in your face. As in, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm writing this and putting it out. So yes, 5 a.m. musings, Jack, are wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I kind of have to agree with Kate. You know, I thought it's a great job, Jack. Wonderful way to start the day at 5 a.m. or to end it. Because parts of it, you know, sound like, well, you know, this is where we're beginning the day. And then other parts of it sound more like it's winding down from the night before. So nice job, Jack, and thanks for sharing as always.
Thank you, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those first five stanzas kind of threw me for a loop because of the irreverent nature he threw in there. But when you get down to that, the last three stanzas, you know where it's going. I dance with you, it's a clair de lune, we waltz around the darkened room. So he's in a lone moment with clair de lune running, and you got champagne, fireworks, and just never let me end the treat, lobster bisque and jazzy beats. Kind of paints another tone to this. But those first five stanzas hit on that note of being high in the moment on the love spilt in those last three stanzas, because that's what it's all about for Jack. And embracing that moment with the irreverence that he's got in the first five stanzas, where everything gets twisted in on itself because his mind's floating in a different direction and he's high on life. Nicely done there, Dave.
Sounds like a good party. Yes, yes, yes.
Never mind the two-pack when we got a two-pack ready and available.
There you go. Okay, Kate, I'm going to ask you to read the next one. This one's by Diane D. So it's called Alibi.
Yes, I've got it. Thank you. Just get it open.
Mm-hmm.
Hourglass by Diane D. Lovely. I would snatch the blue from the skies and steal the rings from around Saturn to dance with you on the ocean floor to the song of our footsteps on water. Just breathing the journey of our dance into the hazel of your shimmering eyes is hovering inside an unbroken bubble that bobs through the hues of our ginger. Your face wore daintiness like a sunset no painter has ever captured, like popping a balloon filled with glitter, or clicking your heels on paving stones. But like grains of sand in the hourglass, I watched you slide idly through that crack and saw the wisps of your preservation fading into the static, like an old 80s TV. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what are you thinking on this one?
Well, you know, I think it was nicely penned, I have to say. And I liked how she started this out. I would snatch the blue from the skies and steal the rings from around Saturn to dance with you on the ocean floor to the song of our footsteps on water. I love that intro stanza here. But then you go down and it gets in a little bit more. I love the reference to the hazel of your shimmering eyes. I thought that was just lovely. And she goes on a little more, but then she gets, but like grains of sand in the hourglass, I watch you slide idle through that crack and saw the wisps of your preservation fading into the static like an old 80s TV. Huh. Like, what a sad or solemn note to end this on. To me it was, about the final passing of someone's time. You know, not the end per se, but just that, it's like she sees it coming, and I found that to be pretty intriguing. And nice job, Diane. I really like the way you put this together. Love that intro, for real.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Kate, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, yes, I enjoyed reading that very much. And I do love that first stanza. As you said, Jean, it's lovely. I would snatch the blue from the skies and steal the rings from around Saturn. Oh, it's very sweet, and it is sweet all the way through, complimenting the face, dainty, and no painter could ever capture how pretty that is. And there you have your balloon filled with glitter, and then, ba-boom, we have that last stanza. There's somebody is going, somebody's disappearing, somebody's sliding away from the affection, perhaps the ties, but something's certainly going on. And it doesn't look as if it's going to be that very nice, I don't think. But I thought it was lovely. It was beautiful to begin with, lovely, interesting. And as time went along, we got to that last stanza, and we realized perhaps not everything in the garden or on the beach is as wonderful as we thought it might be. So it was beautifully done. Thank you, Diane.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. I like that Danny line, that second stanza, that bobs through the hues of our ginger. That's such a bright and vivacious note, our ginger, life, something bright, sparkling, and even tasty, so to speak. So that sits well. And I, too, like popping a balloon filled with glitter or clicking the heels and petting stones. Those are bright notes again. That last stanza kind of hits me, the hourglass pointing the sort of time passing, but I'm not seeing death with that because of the thought of, I watch you slide idle through that crack. I saw the wisps of your preservation fading into the static like an old 80s TV. That hits me with the thought of someone losing mentality, the non-recognition motive, where the mind goes. And you see that fade, that glint in the eyes going out, then all of a sudden it goes, and all you see is an almost blank stare, like from watching the static on TV. So you see the lights go out in the person itself. So it's that fade of what once made that person the life, the blood, the notion of who and what they were when they were full of, just like full of the ginger in that second stanza. I see that there's the unfortunate note of watching someone fade into that state where nothing is recognizable anymore. And they don't know anybody from the outside in, unfortunately. But a great piece there, Diane. Thank you.
And a great observation, Vex. It was wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. I get things right sometimes. Or maybe I just look too deeply into things. I don't know.
Well, I like you looking deep because I get to learn, so please carry on.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Kate, I want to put the next one up. I think I'm going to read this one. I think I can. I don't know for sure. And this is by Damn It, Dave. Well, Damn It, Dave, here we go again. This is called Leaf Upon the Breeze, the modern sonnet. Okay. Now that I'm old, the days go by so fast. and I find time no longer as my friend. What's done is done, and now the die is cast. The shadows fall. My time comes to an end. The days go back quick as a gust of wind. The years pass like a leaf upon the breeze. I know the darkness waits around the bend. Tomorrow's now don't offer guarantees. How quickly has my youth become old age, and all the dreams I've had turned to regrets. The book of life comes to its final page as time burns up like ash from cigarettes. I'm frightened as my time on earth is brief, and facing gods no longer brings relief. End poem.
Nicely, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Kate. What do you think?
Well, this is wonderful. It's certainly a little bit different for Damn It Dave. More serious. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful observation about how it feels to get old. Because you actually don't feel old. At least I don't think anybody that I know feels their age. But the fact is, time does march along, and no matter how much you think about it, the poor old body's getting slower, and life is getting darker, and there's no guarantees, you say, about the future. So I think this is a great look at what it can be when you start thinking about an age thing and about going on, because it can bring you down. It really can. It's not the most wonderful thing to think about or to look forward to at all. So I thought this was very well written at that perspective, and I really enjoyed it. Does anybody know how Damn It Dave got his handle?
Damn It Dave? No. No, he's had a few in my day.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah. So he kept on changing his handle, and eventually one of his mates said, "Oh, Damn It Dave, just stick to one."
Every time I hear come across it, I always think of Cheech and Chong. He knocked on the door and asked, "Is Dave home? Dave's not here, man." So I go through that routine every time I see Damon Dave's name. So it just reminds me of Cheech and Chong and Skip. I don't know if that worked within him, but. All right, Gene, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, you know, I liked the piece. I thought it was wonderfully penned. I thought it was sad in some ways, you know, yet very well done. And each stanza was really well expressed and relatable, because anyone who is getting a little older can kind of ride the wave here, you know, and understand. We all might not agree 100%, but we all can relate and understand it. And I think that it was just a nice piece, and thanks for sharing that with us, Dave. But, damn it, Dave, you did it again. See how to say it. I have to do it every time. It just doesn't feel right for them.
I agree.
Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Jean. There's a lot packed into this. The thought of now that I'm old, the days go by so fast. And in youth, you look at those days, they seem to go on forever. And then all of a sudden, it's on the foot. The years pass like a leaf upon the breeze. Almost that brief notion of time where you go from a summer right into fall, and then winter's bearing down on you hard. And the thought with regrets and how time burns up like ash from cigarettes. I'm frightened as my time on earth is brief and faith in God no longer brings relief. What I'm seeing here is pain. The regrets hold a note. But I think all of that comes hard to bear because it speaks of loneliness. It looks as though he's hanging out alone in this motif. There is no family, no friends, no wife, no girlfriend, or whatever. And he's pondering everything as a lone entity, and that sits hard. And so in that note, you don't have that company where you don't have to ponder on those things. Even the thought of God doesn't offer any relief. So he is really on the back end of the blues, where there's not a soul to speak to, not someone who understands or even knows the angst that comes with age. And to have someone to spend those last days with. So nicely done, Dave.
Oh, that was sad.
Oh,
good, Dave.
Yeah, that was so common.
Okay. Well, for my next magic trick, I'm going to put a piece up for Rex. And this one's by James Chino. And it's called Old Child Dance Free. Whenever you're ready, Rex.
Oh Child, Dance Free by Dan DeCino. When ground hardens legs and weathered mind succumbs to earthly time, smothered breath, I lose myself in childhood dance. Oh, the joys of youth and playful days of dance and song in simple ways. No prince did I need to rescue me. My feet would fly and set me free. How magic was my dance when young. A song my heart has always sung. And poem. All right, Gene. I'm surprised you didn't keep this one to yourself.
No. No. I had Dan's name. I said this, I mean, like a Rex tree. But I think this was really, really a great write. When ground hardened legs and weathered mind succumbs to earthly time smothered breath. Interesting piece of imagery there. Ground hardened legs. I read that and I was like, wow. You know, I think I remember those days, you know, when I worked and was on my feet and on concrete most of the day and night and, you know, all the way around. So, you know, you get that. I can get that very well. And weathered minds, oh, God, I've had that for ages. But I just think that was an intriguing and a wonderful way to start this out. I lose myself in childhood dance. You know, great. What a great thought there. No prince did I need to rescue me. My feet would fly and set me free. How magic was my dance when young. A song my heart has always sung. Just nicely done, Dan. I think that you really took something from that prompt and you made it work all the way through. You captured it. I think you captured this feel of the image because it's not a happy, joyful, you know, like let's have fun image there. There's just a little bit of, some kind of sadness. There's a hardness to it. And that's what I think that he really grabbed that up and brought it to light. So nice work, Dan, and thank you, as always, for sharing with us. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you, Gene. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, you're right, Gene. That picture does give you something to work with. I can imagine. I can actually feel those hands. One is gripping the other, and that expression on the face is not I hate you or I loathe you. It's just get out of my face kind of look. Don't bother me. Yes, exactly. So, and I love that last stanza because it shows you she should feel or did feel. She didn't need anybody. Her feet would fly and set her free. And that's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, because if you're a dancer and you're on points and then you have one of those wonderful leaps in the air, that must feel incredible. And your body and your muscles are moving you to that point where you can look so graceful and look as if you're flying. I thought that was very, very interesting and beautifully written. So thank you, Daniel. It's most enjoyable.
Excellent. I like that. Yeah, she does look forlorn and hard put, almost at the point of breaking and saying to hell with all of this. But where she comes back in, she hits on that note of I lose myself in childhood that dance, that single line, that note to pressing on, so to speak, reminding her why she did this in the first place, the simple joy of the dance. And the thought of flying easily, and it was born out of heart, and that's why she needs the reminder at this particular point in time. Maybe she fouled up during a live performance, and she's not she didn't hit the right spots as she should have, so she's feeling bleak in the moment. And the idea of those legs just bandaged is a reminder: go back to where you started, what brought the joy in the first place, and why you have come this far. So, nicely done, Dan. Thank you.
Nice comment, Rex. Very nice. Okay, Kate, I'm going to come on back to you. I'm going to put up a few thoughts. Never Tear Us Apart by Darkened Auras. So, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Just give me a moment to refresh. I've done it twice and it hasn't come up as being... I got it. Three times. Well, wow, it's getting slower.
Third time's a charm.
That's like the old... I was talking about the old superstition about lighting cigarettes in the war. And, you know, you don't take any more than two lights from one...
Yep,
you don't light any more than
two
cigarettes. Yeah, because the first one, they see you. The second one, they line up, they've shot. And the third one, that's it, babe. Night, night. Okay. Sorry about that.
I never heard that before.
My mind's full of all these useless bits of information, but just when you said that.
So we're on a match.
Oh, there's an old joke about that, of course. Your face and my whatever. That's the match. But I'm not going to be rude. It's just another stupid thing in my head. Right, they'll never tear us apart. She used to gallop like the wind. She was fast and loose in her youth. She had dreams of flying high, but each day her wings were cut, shorter and shorter. So many scars, stitched up wounds that never fully healed, lobotomized, stripped of thoughts, edged smiles to hide truth, her feelings and emotions all pushed inwards, passed around on the streets, in the class, everywhere she went. She was a good lay, what none would say, to comfort her. Stomach sagging, something strange. She looks with an awkward unease, grabs a knife, and pleads a homemade C-section. Dead, tiny, two-headed tot, kept in a glass case. Mother loves them so, can't let them go. No one needs to know. She sees them grow. Though it's on her head, they are actually dead, hidden under her bed when guests arrive. Complaints come in the form of a stench, repulsive odor, making everyone wretch. They utter horrid words. Jesus, what died? She rushes everyone out. Then she screamed and then cried, went back to her room, and no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't keep living. It was for her to decide. 2 weeks later, the smell made its way out to the lobby, regardless of vagrant spray. It could not cover the whiff of decay. 1 second, please. Oh. Police burst into the room to a sweet, serene scene. Well, it would be to a mother, freshly new and clean. Amidst all the blood, coagulated and old, a female carcass embraced the remains of her child, so cold. The one thing she loved throughout her whole life, they weren't able to snatch it away, for her clutches were tightened, held close to her heart. Her final words to the world, she had to say, "You'll never tear us apart." End poem.
I agree, Kate. Thank you very much. Well, that was a little on the dark side. All right, Jean, what do you think?
Have you mutated? echo.
I think she went and took a walkabout.
I didn't even know I did that. But my son came through and I forgot because I had to mute myself so you didn't hear him. Oh, you know, kids. I love it. I said, I think this is rather dark. I was repeating what you said, Rex. I mean, like, very much so. The more Kate read, the more I was just going, huh? I mean, it was a wonderful dark piece. I mean, I like dark poetry, so don't get me wrong. Sometimes it just takes me by surprise because I'm not necessarily sure I'm expecting it. But it was very well done and very well put together. I like the imagery in it. Well, I don't know if I like the imagery, but the imagery in it was very well done. It was good. It was good. And I did not expect the end. I did not expect the end at all to go where it went. And I think it was just pretty amazing piece. And thank you, Dark and Orbs. You know, excellent work. And I'm trying to see what this it was for a contest. And in the darkness,
yeah.
Dark.
Got a gold.
Is it old?
No, it got a gold. It won first prize.
Oh, it got a gold. Yeah. If it won for darts, she got it. That's for sure. Absolutely. What a crazy image that is, too.
I find
that to be really surprising. Like, it's, there's a lot happening in that image. Anyway, I'm done. You go ahead and do your thing. I'll be good.
It's kind of like a Tim. It's kind of like a Tim Burton motif.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kate. How about you? You got to read it. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to apologize for having to stop in the middle, but my mouth gets incredibly dry. I do apologize. It's to do with the problem with my throat, I think. Anyway, I liked it a lot. As you say, Jean, you're reading through it, and it's getting darker and darker. And I'm thinking, because I thought it ended at each day her wings were cut. Shorter and shorter, and then I moved up. I thought, oh, there's more. Oh, okay, keep going. But yes, it was so dark. But then you look at that image. She has taken a whole storyline from that image and done it so well. You know, then you have the two-headed bird in the glass dome that she is then thinking of as her children. And then because she's been found out, because people have come to the house and they've smelled that horrible smell. She had to do something. She knew this was the end of her making believe anymore. She had to face all the facts. And there we have it. That's all she could think to do was to go with the... And it was one baby. It wasn't a two-headed bird. So, yes, it was so, so sad, but very, very well written. And exploited that picture wonderfully.
I agree with that. Did a great job playing that picture out just the way she wanted. And right up top, she used to gallop like the wind. She was fast and loose in her view. Nice touch using the second line to offer up where it's going from there on in. And in that second stanza, so many scars, stitched up wounds never fully healed, lobotomized. Boy, that pushes all the right notes of just how deeply dark and filled with turmoil this is going to be. And then the book passed around on the streets. She was good lay, but none would stay to comfort her after the fact. And then that thought of the pregnancy itself, a homemade C-section, and a dead baby to boot, something would not give up because it's part of her, yet it's the only thing that means anything because nothing else in her life offers up the thought of love itself. But then again, like you said, what comes next is the rock that comes with it, the smell. And then the final note to the whole thing is she joining that baby in a clutch that will never be removed, so to speak. Her death becoming, as a noted reference to, hey, life's not worth living except with me and her at this moment. So she leaves that little note, you'll never tear us apart, and that crunch of a thought of in the embrace in that last stanza is a hard note to, I can treasure this while no one else treasured me.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats on the gold there, D.A.
Yep.
Yeah, well done.
Absolutely. Amazing. We never do know what we're going to get on a Friday night, do we? We get everything from fairy tales and fairy stories up to something like this. I think we kind of encompass a lot on Fridays. And
I agree with you.
It's what old Sweaty Teddy used to say back in the day. It's a free-for-all.
Yes, it is. Yes.
That's what makes it so good. Definitely. I agree with you.
I think so. Absolutely. Okay. Well, the next piece I'm going to put out is called White Spaces by Kiku, and I'm going to give this one a read. And here we go. My poems have become emaciated. I am but a butcher, carving every line thin and knife-tongued, shaving down each tendon I have until it is white and naked. Frosted mallow, pink sponge, but can we really call it courage if I am only ambiguously honest? There are seeds in my throat that have yet to bloom. It's scentless pencil. Wow. It's scentless petals, the pastel milkweeds from the chartreuse vase. My feet are tucked under the pillows, body covered by white sheets, formed like fresh snow, where dreams gallop uninterrupted with nightfall. And the only sound of morning is your sable voice. I awaken, desperate to find the rhythm in my legs, again to the heavy silence of the house, the mottled child beneath my soles. It is okay to say goodbye, but love, don't change the way you look at me. Know that there is not a thing between something and nothing. End poem.
Yeah. Great read, Jean. Thank you. Ooh, it's quite a bit packed in this there, Kate. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to be the one to unpack it. I know you are. But, yes, this... It's a waste of time coming to me. You speak first, and I'll agree with you. That's the way it should work. It's so much easier for all of us. I'm going to be good.
Teaching angle there. That's fine.
it's just all a learning curve for me. That's what it is. Anyway, yes, this is very deep. Where dreams gallop uninterrupted with nightfall, and the only sound of morning is your sable voice. Now that, I have a sable voice, I like that a lot. Desperate to find the rhythm in my legs against the heavy silence of the house. So, as far as I can see at this point, this is somebody who's looking at how they're, you know, the poetry that they're writing is now become quite pale and not as interesting, and it's harder to get the words on the page because she's got to the point where she's going back and editing, and she wants perfection. So she's not considering herself to be courageous to put her thoughts out there. She just wants perfection. She wants to make it as honest as she can in a world that's maybe not quite as down to earth as she is. But at that point, we've got the white sheets and the dreams. So that I'm not too sure about. It sounds as though something is going on and something's not as good as it should be, and there's a problem. Either somebody's leaving or somebody's not in love with them anymore, but it's something like that, I think. So at the moment, I'm afraid that's the best I can do. So over to you.
I think you're walking the right path there, Kate. So.
Oh.
See that?
And Jean, how about you?
Uh-oh. Oh, I am not on mute. That is a good thing. I have to agree with you, Kate. There's a lot going on in it. It has a note to it of how things are just unraveling, I think, in my head. But I went and I checked out the prompt that this was written to in the contest it was for. And the prompt was, something about love is that we make it a believable lie. So that kind of ties it up a little more for me because even though something's good, we tend to make it wonderful. And anything that's wonderful tends to be like over the top, because, you know, you're just love is blind, right? That's what they say. But I think in a lot of cases, you know, eyesight's embellished. Which is wonderful. I don't, you know, in some cases, but other cases, it's kind of like, where's the reality orientation? And I think that this is kind of the lovely side of things. And then when you get down to the very end, or near the very end, it is okay to say goodbye, but love, don't change the way you look at me. Know that there is not a thing between something and nothing. You know, so, it's okay for you to say goodbye. Just don't burst the bubble, the illusion. And I think that kind of I kind of get that. And I may not have said it correctly, but I think I really get the poem. Well done. And thank you for sharing, Kiko. Great job on this.
It is. I look at this in parts because it's on some notes, that first part down to that question, that can we really call it courage if I am only ambiguously honest? That opening end from my poems of the coming, they see I'm a butcher carving every line, thin and knife tongue, shaving down each tenon I have until that's for me, that's a metaphorical look at oneself at that moment. And then the second one that offers that note of there's still more here. There are seeds in my throat that have yet to bloom. It's scentless petals, the pastel milkweeds in the chartreuse space. That's, again, reference to her, but she's saying that there's more to me still. Another look. My feet are tucked under the pillows, body covered by white sheets, form like fresh snow. It's an intimation that youth has not passed by yet, where dreams gallop uninterrupted the nightfall, and the only sound of morning is your sable voice. That there's the paint right there, the pain, the sable voice, but it's not there. That's what she wants to wake up to, but can't. Because then she finished, I awaken, desperate to find the rhythm in my legs again, to the heavy silence of the house. And there's where the pain really hits hard. The marble tile beneath my soul. And then sort of whether the goodbye is from death or just a love that's soured, it leaves it open to interpretation. But it's clear, know that there isn't not a thing between something and nothing. You either have or you don't. And the fact that she doesn't have love in the house in the moment is wearing on her. That's why the opening with the thought of emaciated emptiness. Really, really well done. Thanks, Sarah, Kiko. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent job. Okay. I'm a coming.
So where do we travel next?
I don't know. God, do you know you want everything? You want egg in your beer? Just kidding. I'm going to Stolina next. And I do have an audio for that, so there we go. It's called A Broken Man by Stolina. Well, oh, and we have a caller, too. Wait, I'm overwhelmed. You two things next. Is that you, Naomi?
Yeah, it's me.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Running late. I got here.
Oh, I'm running late too. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry yourself about it. I just I run late in different ways. It just looks different. But so you just in time to she laughs. If he only knew I was telling the truth. I have yes. Okay. You're just in time to hear Stolina's piece. And here is the audio.
Cool.
Throw me a line to reel in this life that used to be mine. The part of me yearns to break away. I know I crave it every second of the day. My mangled mind, once promising and keen, better days it has long ago seen. So I lie here in abject despair, trying to stop myself from going there. It's futile to run. The tracks on my arms are a smoking gun. Can't hide where I've been or where I'm gonna go, but the pain that lives inside I never show. Everyone in my life has let me down. The only friend I have is sold downtown. It gives me such a rush that nothing else can. But what you see before you is a broken man. Nothing to show for this wasted life. No job, no kids, not even a wife. There is no future for me, you see. Just a gaping chasm of futility. Each waking moment filled with desire to fly in euphoria higher and higher. To escape the clouds of relentless rain, an easy ache of endless pain.
Great read there. Thank you very much for the sound tap. It is much appreciated. Oh, Naomi, you're first in. Well, last in, but first up. What you think?
Well, I'm lost. I'm completely lost. It's Selena, but it's a man's voice. I don't know. Is that a trick? Did she play or?
Well,
I don't know.
SoundCloud reading by Selena, so. She worked a bit of magic.
Yeah. What a good, great rap. Amazing beat and flow. And, I used to do raps with my students at school, and this is really neat. And, you know, it has a powerful message, very dark, right, somebody who's either an alcoholic or probably more a drug addict, because of this dire existence of the smell days floating along through a purple haze. Without a fix, I can't survive. It's the only thing that makes me feel alive. Without its kick, I can't face each day. Sweet Jesus, who wants to live this way? Just amazing, you know, each line on the beat. I love, when somebody does a rap that's so profound, and this one really was. So I just love it. Amazing, amazing, Selena. A broken man. Bravo.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Jean, how about you?
I think that that's fabulous. I think the rhythm in her words alone, because she really played into the beat of the music, and or she got lucky and found music that fit. I don't think that's the case. But it was really well done. First, I thought it was Arcana reading it. And then
I did too.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Right. And then I stopped and I went, I don't think that's him. And then I'm like, well, maybe, because he is talented. And I'm like, well, I don't know. But I think it's just an excellent day, wonderful rhythm, incredible job here, really. And I wish her all the luck in the contest. I mean, if she's not the best piece in there, I can't imagine what the other ones are all about, because, you know, it must be pretty awesome. Yeah. Shame we don't get to hear the rest of them. That would have been good. But, yeah, so excellent work, Selena. And as always, hey, thanks for sharing with us, because, you know, I was happy to hear it. You're amazing with these. Absolutely. I've heard a couple of your pieces now, and you really hit the nail on the head. Great job.
Absolutely. Thank you. And, Kate, how about you?
Yes, like you, I thought, I didn't think it could be her voice, but also I looked down at the comments and she said, yes, it's her voice, definitely her voice. But again, beautifully, beautifully read. I love the way they do their sound clouds. It's just incredible. She's such a lovely lady. She actually offered to help me put backing music behind mine, and I thought, I totally think mine's worth the effort. really too much work, though, not very much, but hers, they're epic. And it tells the story of, basically, you have this addiction, but I love the way she brought in, everyone in my life has let me down. The only friend I have is sold downtown. That's a typical reaction to doing the wrong thing in your life. You blame everybody else. Everybody else let you down. You didn't let them down. And so that's how they justify, well, you know, you don't care about me. I might as well just go on the way I'm going. And it's just an excuse as far as, because it's a hard thing. I mean, I've got an addictive personality, so I can totally understand. I mean, I was addicted to Victory V's for years, which is just a lozenge, but I'm completely addicted to it. So I've got to be very careful. I wouldn't even take an injection when I was having the children. I thought, no, give me my mind the way it is. Don't be mucking it about. So, yes, I can fully understand how difficult this is for anybody when you fall into that particular path. But beautifully done, as usual. So clever, so into it, so totally letting you know exactly what a broken man would feel like. So, Stelina, if I had a hat, I'd raise it to you.
Nicely said, Jenny. I like, she's getting, on the production end, she's getting as good as Arcana. And I like the lead-in, that triple darkness, just kind of hinting in the background before she gets into the reality of that first stanza. And then the break, offering up the that plaintive scream, almost a begging tone, the knowing of what's going on. But like you, Kate, there is a note to it is a terrible disease to be addicted quite like this, but blaming everybody else without taking a sense of a sense of self into this is definitely every addict's pedigree of thought, because hey, it's never their fault. World sucks. Nobody wants me. Everything I touch dies. Whatever the excuse is, it just feeds into the fact that they can't wait for the next hit. They'll go downtown for it, because yes, the reality is that's where the next high is coming from. That is where my friend is. These are my people, so to speak. Even though they could care less if you took a hot shot and you died, because they've still got plenty more customers. The reality is they're not your buddies. They're just feeding your pain. So she hits that with that last note and ease the ache of endless pain. Endless pain, hey, that's your need every day or every 12 hours or whatever it is at this point. But it is a hell on earth. And you need that touch, that boost, let you drift away into silence for a while. Great piece, says Stelina. And good luck with this.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, Kate, if you're anything like me, you don't have to worry about giving your mind away to anything or anybody, because if you're like me, half hour, they'll be returning the thing, saying, no, we want a refund. So don't you worry.
Thank you.
I said if you're anything like me. I didn't point a finger. So I didn't say anything like that. Just want to make it clear.
Work is my imagination. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, imagination is your worst enemy.
Sometimes it's been my greatest hero. Okay, Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read the next piece by Jack Blue. And this is a ballad for Lucy Lilac.
A ballad for Lucy Lilac, number 9. The grace of Sapphire Noel deepened Lucy's refrain. For the mad infinity of unruly, messy souls, but she found herself afloat in her mirror looking glass. In its fantasy of light, a limpid lake of diamonds, or galactic amethyst reverberated silently like enchanted lilac trees, ringing through the reveries. Every kind of magic sweets, from chocolate to buttercream, twinkled like a galaxy or its remnants. traveling a million years on the timeless tide of light. Lucy saw her shadow smile linger with a happy frown, bubble off and hover up in the window of Noel when the shines called her to the snowy sapphire. End poem.
Great read there. Naomi, thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're going to lead off with you, please.
You know, I have to say, I always like Luke's use of color. You know, he always places it in each piece and just makes it something special. And it always lends that wonderful atmosphere to the poem. The colors themselves do, which I think is really cool. You know, the grace of Sapphire Noel deepened Lucy's requiem for the mad infinity of unruly, messy souls. But she found herself afloat in her merry-looking ways. But an interesting lead-in to this. You know, I was like, okay, what are we doing? Is it a Christmas piece? What are we doing? And then I was kind of like, okay, it's not a Christmas piece, but maybe it is, you know, in a different kind of way. I don't usually associate lilac with the holiday. But then when you get down here, every kind of magic, sweets from chocolate to buttercream, twinkled like a galaxy or its reminiscence, traveling a million years on the timeless tide of light. Just, you know, wonderful lines throughout. Great imagery, and just a real lighthearted kind of feel to it. Definitely a well-done piece, Luke, and thanks for sharing with us. I appreciate it very much.
Hi. Thank you, Jean. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this is a very interesting poem. I was getting Through the Looking Glass, Alice Through the Looking Glass to begin with, and I thought, oh, yes, okay, that's interesting. But then it moved on, and it took a different turn. So then we had the magic sweets and reminiscences of traveling a million years on the timeless tide of light. Again, you see, that takes you back to time traveling or looking back on something and making it so much better than it actually was, because hindsight is 2020, isn't it? We always think what we had before was better than what we have now. So I think it's very interesting. And then we got back to that last stanza where, again, she brings in Christmas. I love that, when the chimes called her to the snowy sapphire. So this is definitely going from a sapphire to a sapphire, ending the same way. It's very deep, very interesting. So thank you for sharing that with us, Jack.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. And Naomi, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, well, this made me think of, you know, an Alice, you know, falling down the hole, and you know, instead of meeting up with a Queen of Hearts, she meets up with a Queen of Christmas, and you know, she's all mixed up, and then she her shadow smile becomes a happy frown because she sees all these magical sweets in this mirror or whatever, in a rivalry and in this daydream of hers, so she becomes happy and she bubbles off and hovers up in the window of Noel when the shines called her the snowy sapphire. So, you know, that's what made me think of it. It's just an enchanting rite that, you know, you can go any place with it. I think you can take it all over, and you know, you can pull whatever interpretation you want from it. And I think that's what's really cool about Jack Blue and his these rites about Lucy Lilac, there, his ballads, is that you can, you know, you take them as a delightful and enchanting and thought-provoking piece that takes you to on a fairy trip in your brain to wherever you want it to take you. So bravo, Jack Blue.
Excellent. Great notes, everybody. Thank you very much. And yes, that Mary look at the Looking Glass, a little reference to Alice in Wonderland. Also, Lucy, I think, reference to Peanuts. So that whole first stanza has a note to it. The grace of Sapphire Noel, deep in Lucy's requiem. Sapphire Noel, that had me thinking the Star of Bethlehem. Noel, mm-hmm. The thought of Christmas. For the mad infinity of unruly, messy souls. But she found herself afloat in her merry looking glass. The idea of she's looking up. And the next comes a limpid lake of diamonds. A galactic amethyst reverberates silently like enchanted lilac trees ringing through the reveries. It's a note of Christmas. Every kind of magic sweet. Again, looking at the stars. Chocolate, buttercream, twinkle like a galaxy. Or its remnants is traveling a million years on the timeless tide of light. The thought of how distant we are from those pinpoints of light that strike us. But that last stanza, she saw a shadow smile, linger with a happy frown, bubble off and hover up in the window of Noel. At that point, I'm thinking of a church when the chimes call her to the snowy sapphire. So there's a note to sadness in the first with the requiem, but then a call to that spiritual nature on the back end when the chimes called her to the snowy sapphire, the thought going to church as a Christmas notation. So, well done, Jack.
Nice comments, everybody. Nice comments. Okay, and the next piece I'm going to put up is by Arcana Amor. And I have an audio for that. So, here it goes.
Close your eyes tightly and you'll see my face. I'm the goddess of bewitching female power. My seductive glare reflects timeless yearns. Come, bask in my shadow whenever I choose. Summoned by my mantras, tempting tantric muse. I've leapt through millennia's ebbing tides, watching years roll by in fading ripples, whilst I dream the awestruck within my shade, as I watch you through eyes of creamy jade.
Great read, Aunt Canna, and thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. Well, Kate, what do you think? Another wonderful piece.
It certainly is amazing. Wonderful reading voice. And I love this particular subject, one that I've always enjoyed. Sorry, my voice is going. I do apologize. yes, this the artwork is wonderful as well. So it would inspire anybody. Just listen to my contented purr. Yeah, you can see that. But this is a god that, my god is a jealous god, and this is exactly, they put so much into their belief in the afterlife that they took everything with them so that they could live the way they did when they were alive. And so the god and goddesses meant so much to them. This particular one, yes. This particular one is a goddess that really wants to seduce and wants people to worship her. And that's really what she wants, just to be worshipped. So I think this is beautifully written in a particularly interesting era and lifestyle and group of people. I wonder where that belief came from when you think about it. Who made them believe that you had to take everything with you that you owned to the afterlife? I think they even went as far as killing their servants, their particularly
yes,
favorite
did.
Servants. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, they
and
did.
They,
so they
yeah.
have the hands ready when they did arise once more.
Yeah, and all the organs were put into jars so that they were there. When you think of it, you're dead. Why would you need all your organs? It's weird concept, but I loved it so much. I found it so fascinating. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that. That was lovely in a weird way.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I was curious, so I had to go see who was Bastet. And yeah, she was a deity, an Egyptian goddess, the daughter of Ra, and the wife of Ptah, the mother of Milus. And she turned into a cat at night, and she's still worshipped today, and her protection is believed by some to be cast over modern cats. Oh, but coming back to home. He really captured, like the sleekness and the sleek flyness of a cat. The eyes of creamy jade. How they are in the shade there, they have a bewitching power. Come back in my shadow whenever I choose, summoned by my mantras, tempting tantric muse. I've leapt through millennia's ebbing tide, watching years roll by in fading ripples, whilst I preen, be awestruck within my shade, as I watch you through eyes of creamy jade. And, you know, his rhythm and his rhyme is really spot on through all this. And, you know, I love that. And, you know, I wonder where they get their music from, him both and Stellina that we just heard, because my gracious, so awesomely well done, their sound clouds. It's just amazing. So bravo, Arcana Moore, and awesome, awesome right here.
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, what about you?
Why does everybody always forget my name? What is that? All of you. Everybody goes to say it, and they'll go,
I know.
Pam does it. Naomi does it. You're not doing it. Jeez. I'm not intimidating, really.
I don't do it.
Well, I'll get you quiet on the next one.
What is that, right? What you say?
I'll get you twice in a minute.
I even call my nickname.
I are call you Pam, like me.
I've been called a lot of things in my day. Nothing. I answer to everything. I do. Yes. I want to comment on the poem, and then I'll be silly afterwards. I thought this piece was awesome. It was a great take on that image. Wonderful stanzas throughout. I grabbed this one up, but I could have grabbed any one of them and been just as satisfied. I allow you to grovel against my feet. On your knees, you always belong. In nocturne bliss, I'm the mistress of the night, stealthily prowling prey by faint moonlight. I thought that was just fabulous. And I really did like each of those stanzas. I thought he had a lot of incredible lines and thoughts throughout the piece. Great rhyme and alliteration. His presentation is just amazing. It always is. He always gets his presentation spot on. And that is just, that's always a pleasure to listen to. So nice work, Arcana, and thank you so much for sharing with us, as always. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be good now.
Yeah, Bess, that was quite the goddess, the goddess of love. Passion, female fertility, and health and good health, as well as war as well. So she was a multi-purpose woman. She started out as a lion, but then morphed into what you see now, the epitome of a cat. And cats were highly regarded in Egypt. So, and I like the fact that he walks this as the cat. I stare at your green eyes that glow so green. My hypnotic gaze will fill your heart with sighs. Just listen to hear my contented purr. Bow, spellbound before me to meet my smile. There is that note of this walks as the cat. In nocturne bliss, I'm the mistress of the night, stealthily prowling prey by faint moonlight. Worship me with all that your heart can impart. Feed me generously with eternal undying praise. Adore me alone as you would your tender lover. Remember, speak only my name, not any other. It's cleverly done. And I like the fact that, like Scalina's piece, he changed his voice a bit. This comes across as that sultry female angle, like a Mae West or a Marilyn Monroe, something that walks within that note. And that's definitely female in orientation. So I like this just for the ebb and flow and the fact that the preening thought and the playfulness of this just walks within in cat-line grace, that feline imperative.
I totally agree with that, Rick. 100%.
Back to Eugene.
That damn Eugene. You know he's never around when we need him. Why you even talk to him?
Well, I said I'd get you back for a double.
Why not? Yeah, I have to agree. There must be something in the program that they use for, like, the beat wars, the different beats and things. There must be something there that can...
Bayesiana comes up with the the beat notes to work off of, and they're always different.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where she finds them, but Arcana usually gets his background music from a friend, and he notes it up top. I forget the name, but this wasn't one of those.
Right. But the Beat Wars, there is a specific program where they can get the beats, I think.
Oh, okay.
It might be something to alter the voice on there, which is pretty cool. I think that worked out really nicely for both of them, if that's the case. Arcana, I'm not sure about, but Selena, it must have used something, because I know she doesn't sound like that. So anyway, I'm gonna shut up and keep moving now. They say it's hard to hit a moving target. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Sapphire Rose, and this is called Self-Made Masterpiece, and I have an audio for this. It is nice. So here we go.
Self-Made Masterpiece by Sapphire Rose. There are days when I fall. Don't be fooled when it happens. In my weakest moments, I still rise above it all, despite your goading. You might see a broken, fragile girl. The truth is, I lock her inside of myself to guard her against those moments when my protective layer cracks and your BS seeps through it. I'm a self-made woman. I am strong and wise. I never needed anyone to lift me up when things were hard. Strength, much like trust, was earned. Like a badge of honor, I wear it like a symbol, a reminder of the woman I am and how far I have come in this life. My experience elevates me to look beyond your mockery, a written reminder to self that you do not control my life or my reactions. I do. I am a self-made masterpiece. And I'll be damned if I let your vitriol tongue taint the woman I am today. I am resilient and masterful. I am me. End poem.
Great read, Sapphire. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. We definitely appreciate it. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Oh, this is an amazing write, you know, of a woman that's standing up for herself and, you know, saying that, you know, she won't deal with all the BS that seeps in all around her. You know, I just love, and I'll be damned if I let your vitriol tongue taint the woman I am today. I am resilient and masterful. I am me. And she put me in capital letters. So, you know, just amazing write about, you know, how she built herself up and how she put on those layers and layers of carapace that protects her. And she won that as a badge of honor, just like she won trust. She won her strength through all that she surmounted in life. So, yeah, great work and great write here by Sapphire Rose.
Well said, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're back up to you. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I thought this was just well done. I said, you tell it, girlfriend. You know, very nicely penned. And then I started to quote from the piece. And I took a bit of a chunk. My experience elevates me to look beyond your mockery, a written reminder to self that you do not control my life or my reactions. I do. I am a self-made masterpiece, and I'll be damned if I let your vitriol tongue paint the woman I am today. I am resilient and masterful. I am me. I thought that was just fabulous. From those lines, I could have grabbed a few more up top, I guess. But that was just, it was powerful and it was just well pulled together there. And I thought she did an excellent job. Absolutely. Thanks, Beth.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. And Kate, how about you?
How about me, indeed? I want to be this woman. I totally relate to this. in every single aspect. People don't like difference. People don't like unusual. They might try and pretend that, you know, oh, yes, you can support anything. Everybody can be anything they want. But the truth is, it's not true. If you're a wolf, then they're sheep. And they like to herd together for the strength it gives them. And so if you're outside of that group, oh, it's not nice. It really isn't. And some people will never be in that group. But the trouble with being strong and, you know, thinking to yourself you don't need anybody, that builds up walls. And so, yes, you're not being hurt anymore, but you're not being touched anymore either, and you're not being loved anymore because you've got this big wall around you. So, you know, nobody can hurt you. Of course they can, but you are beginning to find that you can't feel much either because you don't have that somebody to bounce off and somebody to talk to you or say, you know, you've had a bad day, come over here, I'll give you a cuddle and a large drink. So, yes, it's a dichotomy. This kind of self-belief is wonderful, but it can give you, in the long run, just a very solitary life. So you have to learn to trust a little and break down the wall a little bit as well, I think.
Amen.
All right. Well done, lady. All right, there's two things I saw. The admittance, the fragile girl. The truth is I lock her inside of myself to guard her against those moments when my protective layer cracks and your BS seeps through it. And then the transition rolling into woman further down. This kind of has me looking at it. It could be the thought of a lover, but it also could be the idea of a cruel and bitter father, since she rolls from the fragile girl through into womanhood. Strength, much like trust, was earned like a badge of honor. I wear it like a symbol, a reminder of the woman I am and how far I've come in this life. So it started early. So my guess is the thought with this is always having the idea of a father who didn't think much of her growing up, didn't offer the love or kindness that went with it, and it's taught her how to be stronger, harder, and resilient. So that transfer from a fragile girl to woman makes sense, especially considering I'll be damned if I let your vitriol tongue taint the woman I am today. Almost a reminder of what once was. Nicely done, Sapphire. All right, Jean, we're back on to you.
Yeah. There we go. Naomi, I need you to read the next one for me, if you don't mind. This is called My Wandering Gypsy by Naomi Sarah.
So I guess I have to today. Yeah, I changed the title a bit. You, My Wandering Gypsy. Okay, and this is by for a contest that Pam had up, which she had this beautiful artwork, Art of Seduction. So our bodies entangled in prime roses and wild lilac, your fingertips of velvet ash. And long, dreamy gypsy summers caress my hardened winter red buds. I sunk and drifting off the starboard bow of the Neptune blue of your sea-filled eyes. All I see is reflections of you smiling like long eclipses and Comanche moons. My cheeks flushed and sprinkled stardust, fallen from the lips of Aphrodite. As I suck in one last breath, a passing whiff, the scent of silt and nectar buried in your moon-kissed skin. Smoky licorice, tinged in purplish blue, flowing through my veins as black strap molasses. Your name stuck in my throat, leaving me gasping, floating on air, and poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you get first picks of this.
Geez, I'm not even sure where to start. Beautiful right all the way through, Naomi. Incredible imagery. you know, I mean, there's so many great references here, you know, and it's just amazing. I mean, you can start with the first stanza and go, oh, yeah, and this and this and this. I could go on through each line here. But when you were reading it, I grabbed up the second stanza. A sunken drifting off the starboard bow of the Neptune blue of your sea-filled eyes. All I see is reflections of you smiling like long eclipses on Comanche moons. Just beautiful, beautiful imagery all the way through, and a great job. An excellent piece to go with the imagery, the imagery, the prompt. I think that, you know, you made it work. You really did, and excellent work, and I enjoyed it. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Phil.
Excellent. All right, there, Kate, what about you?
Oh, that was a wonderful picture prompt to work with, Naomi. He looks like he's troubled, doesn't he? He looks like he could cause trouble everywhere. He's lying back there thinking, look at me in my chest. Trouble is, he's just a scruff, but a scruff with charm. And anybody who can play a musical instrument tends to be the center of attention, don't they? It's just the way it is. You can play a guitar or you can play whatever it is. Is that a saxophone? Yes, saxophone. Yeah, you get attention. Yeah. But I thought it was beautiful. I love the way you have these lines. They seem to flow, and I like that so much. A passing whiff, the scent of silt and nectar, buried in your moon-kissed skin. See, the man never washes. He doesn't wash. But who wants that? That's a lovely smell, isn't it? Smell of a man. I'm irrelevant. I do apologize. I should be more serious. Smoky liquor is tinted in purple and blue. Yes, it's just beautifully written. I'm so glad you took that picture as the prompt because it has so much there that you can use. And I love the way your mind goes. I love the way you think when it comes to sensuality. It's never anything other than elegant. And it makes my cheeks flush as well. So, yes, brilliantly done. Thank you so much, Naomi.
Thanks, you, Kate.
Well, Naomi, it's deeply sensual with only one line that actually hints at the whole thing of what's going on. Caress my hardened winter red buds. That's a wonderfully depictive line nibbling at one's mentality. But everything else you've got here, I like the thought you dropped in, the Comanche moons offering up that smile, the sprinkled stardust, the silt and nectar scent, and then moon-kissed skin, another nice touch, but also the offering up of that last stanza, smoky licorice tinged in purplish blues, flowing through my veins as black strap molasses, your name stuck in my throat, leaving me gasping, floating on light air. I like that thought, black strap molasses, that offers up not just the flow, but it's thick and it's viscous in the moment, hardcore passion. So, nicely done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right, Eugene, we're back on you.
I heard that, just so you know.
Dog pile on the rabbit.
Wise guy. He's such a wise guy, you know. That's what I like him, I think. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this piece up, and this is by someone by the name of Weaver of Dreams, and the name of this is Sulfur, and I have an audio. So here we go.
Wrapped in tangled sheets, damp from frenzied passion, the length of his body, hot and sleek, is against mine. Then I must open my eyes, but my alarm bell rings loudly. Morning is here, and he has gone with the rising sun. Last night might have only been a luscious, erotic dream, born of loneliness and frustration, but my body knows all. I melt again as I remember the pulsating passion that left my limbs limp, body trembling with my need for him. Terrified and titillated as I enter the realm of indulgence, I hear again his deep velvet voice as he whispers those words that arouse, stimulate, and inflame my every sense, while lips and knowing fingers light my appetite for more. There isn't a part of me he cannot easily bend to his will. I hang on to his sculptured body as the pace increases. The slight smell of sulfur lingers around in my note. There is also a soupçon of domination in his demeanor. The pleasure almost becomes pain, an exquisite rapport goes towards the implosion of basic and baser feelings. Swiftly, I scribble down my memories and the sensations of my body reveled in. One day, that book will be written.
Great read, Kay. Thank you very much for the sound craft. It is well appreciated. I got to ask you and Naomi, what got into you two? Back to back? Wow. All right, Gene, you get to lead off.
Those bad boys.
Sure are.
Gene, you get to lead. But you might want to actually be in the room first.
Oh, see, you have to hear all my other remarks. Very good, very good. I did a good one. Wonderful, wonderful piece, Kate, really. I mean, God, you know, I'll start at the beginning. Wrapped in tangled sheets, damp from frenzied passion, the length of his body, hot and sleek, is against mine. Then I must open my eyes as my alarm bell rings loudly. Morning is here, and he is gone. Gone with the rising sun. Sorry, gun. Damn it.
I know, yeah, eh? When you...
I get it. Like, come on now, Kate. No, I'm only kidding. I'm kidding. That's one good way to... do not have to go anywhere you should. See, I get it. But no, I mean, it's wonderful, wonderful lines, you know. And basically, great couplets all the way through. Even though you didn't write it in couplet form, it's couplets, you know, in my head. And I think that it just really had wonderful imagery and just, I got to turn the skin on, you know what I mean? Nice stuff. Well done. Well done, and thank you so much for sharing with us. You've been chuckling over there, Rob.
Nicely said, though, Gene. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this makes me think of so many dreams that I have. You know, I don't know about you guys, but you always wake up before the best part starts. Oh, my gracious. You know, you're right in the dream. And oh, boy. Anyway.
No.
You always wake up before the good start, the really, really good start, stuff happens. I mean, but I'm just telling you about my dreams now. The slight smell of sulfur lingers around him, I note. There is also a soupçon of domination in his demeanor. This pleasure almost becomes pain. An exquisite rapport builds towards the implosion of basic and baser feelings. You know, superbly written, Kate. Oh, phew, this is hot. you could have named it sulfur. That's a great name to go along with this poem. Wrapped in tangled sheets. Yeah, yeah. My sheets would have been tangled too. great stuff, Kate. Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, damn. You guys had a bit too much fun with that. I guess it's my turn. All right. I'm going to go right to the back end of this because one day that book will be written. Since it does sound right out the steamy pages of a romance novel, where's the rest of it going to come from?
Uh-huh.
And there's one note that I did got to ask. The slight smell of sulfur lingers around in my notes. So that brings me to the pause of, sulfur. Are we dealing in a devilish incarnations of that which is or that which one wants, dipping below the heated notes of everything? So the sulfur is just a kind of a note to bring the devil out of me or bring the devil into me or both.
Tell him you ain't telling him nothing, Kate. No secret.
Well, I'm serious though. This is a crowning point for a romance novel.
I would love to write, but I never hang around long enough. I've got three stories that I've been told have to be finished by a certain time. And I've written a bit of them, and I think I better write the rest of them. Terrible. But yes, this is actually, my idea was that she thinks this is a dream, but in actuality, this is not. This is her being seduced by a demon, but letting her think that she's, you know, put her in a dreamlike state. That was kind of where I came from on that one. And I don't even ask me, don't even think about asking me what that last line is about. What on earth I did that for? I have not a clue.
Well, I think it was such an in-depth piece that you would find in a romance novel, that descriptive, that powerful in the way it's writ and driven on, that it rings true. You threw in that note to the book, so it just kind of fit the moment.
That must be it. You're right. That must be. You know, you're looking for an end line. And out of nowhere came this one, and I thought, oh, that'll do. It's an end, at least, I suppose. So, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Back-to-back heaters. What we got next there, Jean? Something to cool us down? Or are you going to keep this up?
Oh, nice one. Nice one, Rex. Keep this up.
Well, if I knew that they were there, I might have found a few more and just kind of tucked it all together, but... I did not know. I should have known these girls would be up to something. Okay. Kate, I'm going to ask you to read the next one for us. And this is by Namdog Somal. And it's called Greatest Treasure.
No, thank you. I'm just going to get this up. Refreshing like a little maniac. Oh, my God. Greatest Treasure. Walking a mysterious path. Mindful to keep a mind of your own. Light returns, cutting through the darkness, revealing inner truths buried deep. Walk with your head held high, certain of life's sweetness. Cast your love in all directions, thereby creating a new beginning in a time when all appears to be lost. Do not stray from your path of inner knowing. Walk alone if you must, but walk, allowing others their own way. Like lightning piercing through the clouds, you are your greatest treasure. Know this as you embrace the whole. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And to start with you, Naomi.
Yeah, what a great, spiritual rite, walking a mysterious path. Sometimes there's darkness, but light always returns, cutting through the darkness, revealing inner truths buried deep. So, a message here, I think, to walk, learn to walk alone, of course, first, before you walk amongst others, because you if you accept yourself, you can begin to accept others And, you know, the saying says, love yourself first and you'll be able to open up yourself to love others. And, yeah, just, you know, seizing that inner light, that inner strength, that inner knowledge, and embracing it. And, yeah, becoming your, like he says, you are your greatest treasure. So getting to know yourself, I think, is a very hard thing to do. You know, it's harder than you think. Sometimes you're in a couple and you forget yourself. I know I've done it time and time again. But to really learn how who you are and embracing your self-worth and your self-sense, you know, that's an amazing thing somebody can do. So amazing, amazing message here. And a very powerful rite, very spiritual rite, very thought-provoking rite. So
right.
Amazing. Yeah.
I was going along those very same thoughts. Nice, Naomi. Thank you. Jean, how about you?
I think that this was a wonderful piece by Pam. Just great advice to be taken here, actually. You know, she reaches out offering words of wisdom. And I thought, as Naomi said, you know, it's a great message and very well done. So thank you, Pam, for sharing with us, as always. It's always good to hear your thoughts.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And there, Kate, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, yes, again. Yeah. Naomi, you're right. It's a beautifully spiritual piece of poetry. I like that. When people have beliefs and they can put those beliefs out and let other people hear them, I think that's another wonderful thing about being in a group like this. People give you their inner beliefs as a gift, and you do with it as you will, but it always touches and always, it's like a small river of water, and gradually this water wears away the earth or the ground or whatever's around it and becomes a larger stream of water and becomes more meaningful. So I think this is beautiful. And you said, Naomi, you know, it's hard to get to know yourself or love yourself. It's a lot to do with the fact that you're different people to everybody. No one is just one personality, because your mother will see you differently and your friends will see you as a different person, because different aspects of yourself come out to these people. So you're not going to be the same with your mother as you are with your mates. You know, spitting and cursing, that would not be nice. You know, so that's a difficult thing, because we're always adapting to those around us. And so that, I think it's a lot to do with you want to be, again, subconsciously, you want to be liked. You want to feel that you're with people who are like you. It's a very deep subject, I mean, obviously, but I think this is just lovely, and I love the fact that we get to know the beliefs and the thoughts of someone else just given to us. I think it's lovely. Thank you.
Great comments, everybody. And I agree, the spirituality walks within us. It hits me with a kind of a note to Eastern philosophy. Mind is to keep a mind of your own. Light returns, cutting through the darkness, revealing inner truths buried deep. And then it was, what else we got here? Certain of all life's sweetness, cast your love in all directions, thereby creating new beginnings at a time when all appears to be lost. And then again, do not stray from your path of inner knowing. Walk alone if you must, but walk, allowing others their own way. Quite the thought running on Eastern philosophical notes. So nicely done there, ma'am. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you. I did it twice.
See, he still doesn't know my name. Okay.
I would say Jan, so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, Rex has to do the next one. So I told him he had to do the next one earlier. And this is by Dammit Dave. And it's called Saucy This Morning. I have two more I'd love to get done after this, but this one I had to do. So I want to hear Rex.
Okay, dokie.
Thanks, bud.
Saucy the Snowman, parody by Dammit Dave. Saucy the snowman is a cranky, crass old soul. And without a doubt, he'll curse you out because his soul's made of out of coal. Saucy the snowman is a scumbag, people say. He's a cold old foe, and the children know that it's best to stay away. I think there's some dark magic in that old tap hat he wears, because when he's got it on his head, that old snowman really swears. Oh, Saucy the snowman is as mean can be. He will curse and scoff, he will tell you off. It is best to leave him be. And parody.
Whoa. Well, bad.
Oh, all right, well, so, Kate, you and Naomi get the comment. What'd you think?
I loved it. I could hear you. I could actually hear you going on at the end of the first stanza. I could hear you going, oh, why did I start this with singing? I'm going to have to keep on going now. It was wonderful. I loved it so much. Saucy. Saucy the snowman. Oh, my goodness. Ah, oh, wonderful, as ever. Damn it, Dave, you did a wonderful job, damn it, Dave. And you did a wonderful job with it as well, Rex. I'll never forget this moment as long as I live.
Naomi, I think it's
for life. Lovely, I loved it.
Amazing singing there, Rex. And, you know, just an amazing write by Damn It Dave here, you know, to take that, you know, and it works so well with that face on that snowman. He's crassy, cranky, crass old soul, without a doubt. Yeah, and his soul's made out of coal. But, you know, just perfect rhythm and flow all through, and just amazing parody to the song. So just amazingly well done. Bravo, Damn It, Dave.
Absolutely, Dave. You gave us our comic relief for the evening, and that was well-timed. I like that. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Absolutely. I said, go, Dave. Great parody. Much enjoyed. Thank you for sharing. We all needed a good chuckle. So well done. Well done. Okay, so I have two left that I want to get through. I have four left, but I'm going to only worry about getting through two of them. And the first one we're going to put up is called Memorial Day by Pee Wee Cruzan. So, Naomi, would you give us a read on that one?
Yep. Okay. Pee Wee. Memorial Day 83. Cerulean sky of eve, sun slinks down, too low to see. Memorial Day, 83, born into a world not meant for me. Grown up too fast, thrown to the wind in a shotgun blast. Refined by my undefined past, which is my face and which is the mask. Cast out into the air, come down face first, and no one cared. Despicable days, despicable are the days. Nothing will take the glower from my gaze. If you see me slip behind, I'll rip out my insides until I find the pride never again to be denied. Now I just leave the damn knives in my side. Maybe you're another like me. Maybe not. We'll just have to wait and see. And if cast out into the sea, drowning's the only way we'll ever be free. Idealist with a big heart. Society killed my dream before it could start. World judges on lived past. Everyone I've known can kiss my ass. My mouth starts running. Keep that medicine of mine coming. Should I appear sober or close? Medicine again and again and again and again until I overdose. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Okay. Naomi, thank you. Gosh, I'm losing it all the way around here, aren't you?
See, Gene, you're not the only one.
Oh,
got
God.
Turned around.
Since I had Kate mixed up in there, I guess Kate's going to be the first one commenting.
Oh,
God.
Oh, my God. That, honestly, it happens to everybody at our age. I'm so nasty. Nobody's as old as me. Oh, dear. Yes, anyway, back to the
fact. Right, so I think I'm older than you, so there. Ah.
No, you're not. Oh, okay. That's why I look
I'm
up to you.
I'm double 50, so there.
Okay. Double what? Double which number was that?
Double sixes.
Ah, no. You're much younger than me. I knew you were.
Oh.
Okay, I can tell
no,
everything.
Not. That's just to make you feel better.
No, honestly, I don't lie about age. Believe me, I don't lie about age. Oh, I am very old. Methuselah's got nothing on me.
Oh, damn.
Oh, dear. So, Mr. I've got to be peewee. I'm terribly sorry. I'm being facetious. And if you can say that, you're better than I am. Let's go back to this. Going up too fast. Thrown to the wind in a shotgun blast. Refined by my undefined past, which is my face and which is a mask. This is wonderful. It really is. I mean, wow. Every stanza has something that you want to think about. If you see me slip behind, I'll rip out my insides until I find the prize. Never again to be denied. Now I just leave the damn knights on my side. Oh, that's terrible. Yes, this is somebody who is not enjoying the life they're living. And I can see why. Oh, dear. Yes. Beautifully written. And it gets sadder as it goes on. It sounds as though, I don't know, it's just very cleverly done and very deep. And I feel the feelings, which, you know, that's a mark of a very good poem. If you can feel what that's meant to, the thoughts it's meant to give you. But yes, I think it's beautifully done. Peewee, thank you so much for that. It's very sad, but I enjoyed it.
Nice. Thank you very much, Kate. All right, Naomi, how about you? You got to read it.
Yeah, this is, it's very hard and sharp rawness that this just sticks you in the gut. If your mouth starts running, keep that machine of mind coming. Should I appear sober or close, medicine again and again, again and again, until I overdose? You know, like, it's just a feeling of, you know, giving up there, you know. Memorial Day 83. I wonder if that's his book, like, if he was born in 83.
Yeah,
no, can't.
He had done that with the next thing, born in the world, not meant for me.
Okay. So he's not very old, Peewee. Okay. He's about the age of, he's a little bit older than he's quite a bit older than my daughters. But, like I said, very raw and real poem that's very, very, sticks in your gut. So amazing, right, Peewee? Powerful.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. the opening offers up a tint of what's gone, but everything from then on that, grown up too fast, thrown to the wind in the shotgun blast, refined by my undefined past, which is my face and which is a mask. So from early age, he's thrown into the realm of ugliness, so to speak, and what comes with that, and seen too much through the eyes of the youngster, and has to offer up that note to you hide what you see, because if people know what you've seen, there's more danger that lurks beyond that, and you don't ever want to show that note to fear, which puts you in another place, which you don't want to be. The knives in my side kind of hint of all those the backstabbing motif, and leaving them there as a reminder to all that's come before. That's it. Again, idealist with a big heart, sigh, you kill my dream before I could start. World judges unlived past, everyone I've known kiss my ass. And it does hit on that idea of judging someone before you actually get to know them. And that walks a sad path in itself, too. Nicely done, Pee-wee. All right, Gene, we're back to you.
Hey, listen, I have one more. I was hoping to try and get in tonight. I don't know if we can do it or not.
Let's do it.
What do you all think? Maybe? Okay. Just one. Just one. I have three, but I want to do one. And this piece is somewhere. How did I get here? Doesn't it figure? You get a little snug one time, and what happened? There's that thing I was looking for. This one is by Poeta de Cabra. And Rax, if you would be so kind as to read it for us.
All righty.
And I know I put it up first, but I have to find the board now. I lost the board now. First I lost the poem, and now I lost the board. There you go. Whenever you're ready.
All righty. Lucky Country by Poeta de Cabra. Vicious circle has started once again. Awful weather with far too much rain. Forecasts bad, according to the reporter. Half of Australia is currently underwater. But I can tell you now, without any doubt, next year or so, we'll be back in drought. Personally, wouldn't be a farmer for quids. Can pay a lot, but it seems heaven forbids. I don't have the stomach that farming requires, putting up with floods, drought, even bushfires. Floods cause green grass to grow. Later, it will turn dry and yellow, and just like paper, it will burn. Rain brings on a mess, causes much havoc. Drought makes a desert out of the paddock. Hard to say really which one of them might be worse. No wonder farmers break down, swear and curse. Animals die, crops fail, and with the bank they're in strife. No wonder the poor buggers drink or take their own life. When the rivers and creeks rise, animals are drowning. Other times they starve to death as the land is browning. What would you prefer? Because it's all pretty grim. In floods, only choice you have is to sink or swim. With droughts, everything dies like lambs to the slaughter. Can only imagine, it's like a fish trying to live out of water. Aussie way through, you stick your head down and bum up. But you need no help from the government, all of them are corrupt. Strange, really, how things are dying and animals are hungry. And still, we could smile and call Australia a lucky country. And boom. All right, Naomi, let's start with you.
Yeah, I really, really like this. You know, the vicious circle has started once again. You know, he's talking about Australia here. Either drought or floods. And, you know, it must be really hard. I can't imagine, you know, those poor farmers trying to survive. It must be, you know, an awful hard life, you know, whether in Australia or whether anywhere in the world, you know, when you're fighting against nature, you're depending on nature. You're totally dependent on nature for your crop to grow and, you know, for the land to be able to feed you and bring in money to survive. So, this is a hard life farming is. I know my family are farmers on Prince Edward Island, and, you know, they depend a lot on, you know, Mother Nature, what she decides, and that's their outcome. So they don't have much say in this at all, and it's a hard life. So very, very well done, Poeta de Cabra. Amazing realities in this.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Kate, how about you?
Well, I do like that picture. That is so incongruous, isn't it? And gives you everything that poem is trying to tell us. A catfish in the mud beside the plants. My goodness me. Yes, it's a hard country. Really is. As the writer says, it's either wet or dry, and you've got to try and survive in it. Not easy. No, it can't be easy. But people farm. They've always done it. They've always lived through, you know, your crops fail or whatever. They're hardy folk. But sometimes you can push people too far. And if this is happening because of climate change and everything else, then there's no wonder people are spitting and getting annoyed. So do a little bit, and yeah, makes a good point.
Absolutely. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was, I have to agree with the girls. Let me put it that way to start with. Now I have to get to it. I thought, geez, where did it go? Okay. I thought it was an excellent write by Poeta. Well-expressed references all through the piece on what they've been through. Mother Nature is hard on so many, but it seems like they've had a real run with it down there in Australia the last few years. So, I want to thank him for sharing with us. It's always good to see his work on the board. And, he has serious work and he has fun work, and, it doesn't matter which one he puts up, he does a fine job with it. So thanks, Poeta. I appreciate it very much. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Great comments, gang. I like the opening of Vicious Circle, and it really is. Most people forget that the planet works in cycles. Every 11 years, we run through a new cycle or the retaining cycle where you get those burying rains for 11 years, and then all of a sudden you've got 11 years of hotter weather where the temperate zone offers up you nothing but dry land. The fact is, he's offering that note to anger, but the thought is, you've got a government. If you're not protecting your farmers, your populace is not eating. So the idea is, hey, whatever you've got to do to help out the farmers on both ends of these, whether it's dry or wet, is what you should be motivated to actually accomplish, because without them, you have to import your food, which means it gets a whole hell of a lot more expensive, and you won't be able to get most of what you get by growing at home. So, well done, Poeta. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're back to you for the last note there, Jean, since we've come to the end of things.
Thank you guys for hanging out with me all night. And Rex, thank you for co-hosting with me as always. I always appreciate that very much. We have we had three carryovers, and I moved those over to Parts Center, Parts Inc. tonight because I didn't want them to sit for 2 weeks waiting because, next week's Christmas. Christmas shows all next week. Woohoo!
Yay! Wow!
Jingle,
jingle.
That's right. You can sing.
What, no jingle ball?
Not in this house.
That's at the Weaver House. She sings that. I'm not going to get involved. That's a Wednesday. You have to sing it on Wednesday. That's,
okay.
See, that's the only thing. You have to sing Jingle Balls on Wednesday. Otherwise, they'll say I'm doing something wrong. But definitely, what can I say? But Naomi, thank you for calling in and hanging with us. And I want to thank everybody for reading and their comments and all that good stuff. I thank everyone who gave us poetry, wonderful poetry tonight, lots of fun. And, we're good. We are good. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And, our paths will cross soon.
They will.
It could be 10 minutes from now. Could be 10 minutes from now. Or it could be tomorrow. You never know. So,
mystery.
I know. I'm like a bad penny. I keep turning up. That's what my mother always said anyway. Anyway, y'all take care of yourself. Stay warm, stay safe, and I'll talk to y'all soon. And thanks again for everything.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Rex. Good night, Naomi. Good night, Jean. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Love you too, girlfriend. Be good. Bye-bye.
Oh, be good. No. That doesn't happen.
Not after that, he would monster the right.
I've got to go away and be sensual again. I love it. Right. Okay, my darling. Good night.
It's a great life.
Good night,
bye. Be good. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. You're so funny.